Welcome to our selection from the Psalms. In this session, we want to look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is very apropos for the days in which we're living, when we see the Islamic Jihad, the IRA in Northern Ireland, and also, for example, in Nepal, another country where we minister, we see the Maoist terrorists there, and in fact in so many parts of the world terrorism is threatening civilization. But as we look at the Word of God, we find great hope. And as we look at Psalm 91, we shall indeed receive, I think, much encouragement for the days in which we live. It was written, of course, by King David, who experienced many enemies, even in his own ranks. But in Psalm 91, he gives us the key for his own protection and ours too. And so it starts off, and this is very important, there are always conditions in the Word of God for God's protection for us. And here we see in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will indeed abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And here is the condition, first of all. You see, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, what does that mean? Well, we have to go back to the tabernacle of Moses in actuality, to understand the ways of God, to understand the mysteries of God. And the tabernacle of Moses consisted of basically three parts: the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The outer court, well, there was virtually no protection there because there was no covering. And it speaks of the carnal Christian, the one who is a little child in Christ, a baby in Christ. But moving on to the holy place, we have the thought of the young men in Christ who are strong, who overcome the enemy. But the secret place is actually the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God, passing within the veil. Indeed, looking at the Ark of the Covenant with the two tables of stone, and on those two tables of stone were written the Ten Commandments. And essentially, what it is saying for us, look, we need the Ten Commandments written on the fleshly tables of our heart. And we need to abide in the presence of the Almighty. And it is those in the Holy of Holies that can enjoy all the privileges of Psalm 91. So in actuality, as we start to look at this psalm, we have to understand that there are conditions for God's protection. And those conditions are living right, living in the presence of God, even as King David did. You know, King David made this statement. He said, I see the Lord always before me, and is at my right hand that I shall not be moved. In other words, he was not only filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, but he was abiding in the Holy Spirit. And there's that sense of dwelling in the presence of God, and then from that come forth all these wonderful promises of God for the days in which we live, and for wherever we go. But the wonderful thing about King David was this, that God said, I'm with you, whithersoever you go. And that is the assurance that we want to have, the promise that we want to have, as we face the very difficult days that, well, I was going to say lie ahead of us, and that's very true, but dependent where you are in the world, you know, you could say, well, I'm living in those times now. And we have, my wife and I have been in places of great danger, but we have been protected by God, for which we thank him, and thank him for his mercy. But I want to bring you into that position and show you that in the last days we must enter in to that place of the presence of God, the secret place, so that we can inherit and receive all these glorious promises concerning protection that Psalm 91 gives us. Now then, what does it say? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You know, King David was a warrior king. He had to consistently fight battles. And when you consider the battles of old, it was just a miracle of God that David got through all the battles that he fought, because these arrows were flying all over the place. He indeed was not at the back, but in the center of warfare, center of the battle. You know, we read in other accounts of other kings of Judah that they were in their chariots during the battle. And for example, Josiah, somebody took an arrow, put it in the bow, and shot him. And he died. Ahab, king of Israel, was in exactly the same situation in battle. He was killed by an arrow that was shot Ahazar, you see. So, in a very real sense, it was a miracle of God that these kings escaped in these battles. They were in the very center. They were not like the generals of today, sitting in a air-conditioned office many hundreds of miles from the battlefront. Oh no, they were actually in the center. Now I agree that some generals do get into the warfare and do go into the helicopters and so forth, but the danger that these kings experienced was very real indeed. But God said to David, I am with you whithersoever you go. And so now we have David saying, well, look, God is my fortress. Well, in olden days, and in England, you can still see them, these magnificent castles that had these huge impregnable walls. And there's a sense of security from all the, you know, advancing armies. They couldn't get near because of these walls. Now, what King David is saying, he said, well, look, God is my fortress. In other words, He's around me. The walls of salvation are around me. And he said, I feel very secure indeed. All right, so that's the first promise, if I could say this, of protection. Psalm 91 speaks of God protecting. And then as it goes on, it says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings from, you know, the enemy. And He will be a buckler to me, or in other words, a shield to me. Now, a snare. You know, just a few days ago, I was speaking with a very godly pastor who was going to Africa. And unknowingly, there was a snare and a trap set for him. And people were waiting for him to indeed do him harm, bodily, and also, spiritually. Because they had intended that when he came, they were going to gather around him, move him to another place, and indeed do him some harm. Well, of course, God knows everything. And God knew of this plot, that the pastor quite unsuspectingly would have walked into. But how did God arrange things? You know, by a technicality, this pastor was refused boarding rights to the plane with which he had a ticket. It was a technicality, but that technicality was enforced, and I don't suppose they would have done it to anybody else, just a mere technicality. But you know, that technicality prevented him boarding the plane, and therefore he escaped the snare that was awaiting him. You see, God has his methods of protecting his people. And so he found out afterwards all about the snare, all about the plot, and he was protected. He was delivered from it. And so you see, here is another wonderful promise in Psalm 91. Not just a protection, but a deliverance, you see, from the snare. You know, we've had experiences. When I was due, for example, in Africa to go to a certain place, a certain city in Africa, and, you know, nothing was going right. The car of the missionary broke down. He couldn't understand it. He was a superb mechanic. He thought he got it running, and it broke down again. In other words, we couldn't leave the compound where we were to go to this city where I was supposed to teach in a seminar. And for 3 days, that car would not go. And yet, the missionary himself was a superb mechanic, couldn't understand it. Had the car for years, it was in perfect condition. But you know, on the third day, he looked at it again. And he said, I can't see anything wrong with it. He started it, it went, and he said, it seems to run perfectly. I can't explain why it didn't go the days before. But you know, we got to the city, and we found that in the previous days that we were due to be there, the place was shot up by President Idi Amin's soldiers. And if we had been there, we could have quite easily been killed by the shootout. Well, God knew that, and so God delivered us. And he used this car of the missionary, you know, and only God could make it not work when it seemed to have been in perfect condition. But we were preserved, you see, like that. Well, there we have the deliverance. Now, in verses 4 to 6, we have another wonderful situation. You know, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. The terror by night. The terror by night. And nor the arrows that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You know, pestilence and so forth. Let me tell you a little testimony. This happened in the island of Taiwan a number of years ago. And there was a lady, an elderly lady, who had just experienced Christ as her Savior. And here she was going down a little path towards the shore, because she lived very close to the sea there. And she was going on this very tiny path, walking down. And suddenly, to her horror, she saw in front of her a swarm of bees coming exactly along this path. And they were getting very, very close to her. And I don't know if any of you have experienced swarms of bees, but anybody who has is often stung very badly, and some have even lost their lives through it. Well, this lady, you know, illiterate, but she had Jesus in her heart. She said, Jesus, stop them. Do you know what happened? That swarm of bees was going straight for her along the path, turned and went right around her, came round her back and continued. Oh yes, there is protection in Jesus. Protection in Jesus. You know, another case, look, this terror, you know, by night. You know, what happens at night? Well, it's often when the thieves break in, isn't it? thieves break in. And there was a certain missionary friend of ours, and they were in a very dangerous area. But they believed that God would protect them. And here they were in their little house, and the thieves were breaking in. You know, there was a group of them breaking in to the house next door. And they heard them, the missionary family heard them. And they prayed. And they prayed and they prayed. Do you know what happened? Those thieves didn't touch their house, but went to the house behind. Oh yes, there's preservation. There's deliverance in the Lord. Yes, I want you to believe in that. You know, there's so many remarkable things that God does. Just another little testimony we heard the other day. Here is a missionary. He has a bag. And in his bag, he's got his money. He's got his tickets, airline tickets, and a number of other things that were essential for him to be able to continue on his journey. Well, he put that bag in the back of one of these little scooters that they have in India. And he was taken to the place about an hour away where he was to meet some people. And the little scooter, after he got out, took off. And the missionary realized, you know, there went his bag with all his essentials in it. And his wife said, well, that's very interesting. You know, generally speaking, wives panic and, you know, cry and sob and so forth. But his wife said, that's very interesting. She said, when we were praying this morning, I saw on the bed a little mustard seed. Now, where that came from, who knows, but the hand of God. And a mustard seed. What do you associate a mustard seed scripturally with? Well, if you have faith like a mustard seed, it will remove a mountain. And she said, you know, I had the thought that we were going to be tested. We were going to be tested. God was showing us by that little seed of mustard that we were going to be tested. But she said, I didn't realize it was going to be this very day. So the two of them prayed, oh Lord, bring back that bag safe and sound. Well, they prayed, and then they felt, well, they had to return, you know, to their home, you see. And they did so, which was about an hour away, as I've said. And the result was that in just a short period of time, they heard a pop, 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 part of one of these tricycles. And an Indian man got out and said, here it is. Here is your bag. And nothing is missing. Well, they rewarded him heavily. But they thanked God. That is an absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. That nobody took that bag and opened it and took money out. Well, I just give you these few little living examples, things that have happened just recently around us, and to encourage you. Psalm 91 works. In the time of King David, it works today. Well, we move on, and we see all kinds of things. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 to thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Do you know, I had that experience during World War II in the bombing of London. I think the greatest fire that the world has ever known raged for weeks on end. It couldn't be put out because night by night the German bombers came and the bombs fell. But do you know, we had the privilege of being very near the epicenter, but you know, not one of those bombs touched us. And then, in one situation, my mother, because my father was away at war, my mother felt we must leave the house this weekend. Normally we would have been there, but she said, this weekend we must leave. And we went to my grandmother's house, and you know, on Sunday morning when we were at church, a policeman came and said, I'm sorry, there's been a little damage to your house last night in the air raids. And you have to know the British police, you have to know, you know, the British people, they understate everything. So my mother, you know, and I accompanied her, we went up to see this little damage. Well, this little damage was total destruction of our house. It's the understatement of the police. But you see, she was warned by God, you must leave the house this weekend. For God knew what was happening. But you know, the neighbors on either side were killed. You know, 1,000 can fall at thy left hand and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. Well, certainly wasn't thousands killed, but were a number. The whole road was decimated. But we had been taken out, served by God. And then there are times when we have enemies. I think we all understand that, don't we? But here in verse 13, there's a glorious promise. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon. And you shall trample them underfoot. You know, King David, of course, experienced that. His enemies would come and he would capture them and he would demand that they lay down, and he put his foot upon their necks to signify that he had triumphed over them. But you know, in the Christian life and life as a whole, we do have enemies that rise up against us. And you know, some of them can be extremely strong. And we've had on occasions enemies that have risen up against us and done all kinds of wicked things against us, threatening us and so forth. Do you know, God has given me such peace in my heart at those times. And he said, you trust me, you wait, because those enemies are going to fall before you. And you know, in time after time, I have seen the enemies crumble before me, lose all their strength, and in actuality acknowledge to my face, well, you will win, you have won. Oh yes, Psalm 91 is a glorious, 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 or how many more times can I say it? Glorious psalm. And you know, what is the end of the matter? Well, you know, here again, the condition. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Well, there the promise is to King David, the promise is to Christ, the promise is to us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we love him. You know, that's the most important thing. You know, there was a lawyer who asked the Lord Jesus Christ, well, what is the most important commandment? And the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And the lawyer said, well, it's right. And when the Lord saw he had answered discreetly, he said, you're not far from the kingdom. Well, it is love, isn't it? You know, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. And here it is. Because he has set his love upon me. You know, King David loved the Lord with all his heart. He said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And so, you see, David has set his heart upon the Lord. And as we set our hearts upon the Lord, look at these blessed promises. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Isn't that a beautiful, wonderful thing? You know, we remember this lady in Taiwan I spoke of earlier on who turned away those swarmer bees? Well, they also had a problem with the crops. And they had crops of peanuts, and there was no water, no rain. And it looked as though all the crops of her family and her friends would die. And, you know, everybody was bemoaning this fact. She said, I will go in and speak to my father. After 2 hours of prayer, rain came, the whole crop was saved. Oh, I will call upon him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And then look at this glorious ending. And with long life shall I satisfy him. You know, the longer we can be upon this earth, the more time we have to be like Jesus. And oh, the wonderful thing to have that glorious satisfaction in your heart. Satisfied with your life. Satisfied with what you're doing. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. So there is Psalm 91, full of treasures, full of hope, especially for the days in which we live, and we can live totally satisfied and happy in Jesus. And may God grant that that will be your portion too, as you abide in the secret place of the Most High. God bless you.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverley, New York. For those of you who are interested in reading or studying more, we have a comprehensive course in biblical studies. Or if you wish, you may contact our bookstore at the number which will follow, or you may purchase the Book of Psalms, which is available in English. If you have been blessed and encouraged by the teaching and would like to donate financially towards the cost of this program, you may do so by calling our toll-free number with credit card details, or by sending a check to Zion Fellowship at the address which follows. We invite those with special needs or prayer requests to contact us, and we will be happy to pray for these at our weekly prayer meeting. For those looking for a church home, you're welcome to join us for our Sunday services at Zion Chapel, where Dr. Bailey is the senior pastor. Services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. on Glory Hill in Waverley, New York, which is just opposite O'Brien's Inn. Remember today that God loves you, and it is His word that gives us abundant life. Go today in the peace and joy of our Lord Jesus Christ.